Everyone, we need a bigger table here so we can take all my papers. Cool. Before we start, I just wanted to say that Margaret was sat there, and she was singing beautifully. And I heard her sing, and I was like, if only we had that freedom to sing and worship with all liberty and all obstructions removed. Not caring who's sat by your left, your right, front of you or behind you. Just lift up your voice in worship before the Lord and express yourself. That was my thought that day when I sat next to her. So we're blessed with a beautiful mother. Cool. Ephesians, one of my favorite scriptures, chapters in the Bible. I have prayed that prayer for as long as I can remember. And do I have a slide? I do have a slide. If we remember in Acts 1, before Jesus actually ascended, he told his disciples one thing. He said, tarry ye, King James language, which means go and wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if we go back when Jesus was still alive, the Bible says he came and he was proclaiming the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God has come, which means there was a different kingdom. And there is still that kingdom operating, which is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. And then we see Acts 10:38 tell us that how God anointed this Jesus Christ of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Spirit. And what was he doing? He was doing good. He was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. He was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was literally walking past a mother whose only son had passed away, and Jesus raised that child to death. Jesus came and ushered in a goodness that the world had never seen. He was bringing joy where there was sadness. He was bringing comfort where there was discomfort. He was bringing ease and wellness where there was disease. And we see 1 John 38 tell us, for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he was made manifest. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. But he knows we can't do anything in our strength. Just as he said, I can't do anything without the Father. I work in union with the Father. I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I see my Father say. He modeled the perfect union for us to be able to walk with the Holy Spirit. And then he tells his disciples, go and wait in the upper room. They didn't go there sitting down there twiddling their thumbs. They sat down there in anticipation for the promise that was to come, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, even as they waited, they did what? They appointed a replacement for Judas. They did that by lot. Then the Holy Spirit wasn't there. And then before you know it, Bible says they were in one accord and the power of the Holy Ghost came. They were empowered. All of a sudden, a supernatural ability came upon this people that were timid, sad that Jesus is going, had gone. Because Jesus said, I will be with you till the very end. This ability, Bible says you shall receive power. That's what he told them. And that word power is translated dunamis, which is the dynamic ability to cause changes. That's what Jesus did. He came into a place and changed that evil that was oppressing that place. And only his power can do that through me and you in this world. So when we look at Ephesians 1, right above it, it's talking about you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, then you don't know the great power that is at work within you. This is one phrase we always say, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you know who is the greater one in you, then you know Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then you know you can influence your sphere of your world around you. You hear something is happening in a neighbor's household. You hear something is happening in one, you know, side of, I don't know, Stamford, wherever it is you live. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost in you. You're in your class. You're in your workplace. You hear someone going through hell and high water. You don't just sit down there and say, oh, I really feel sorry for you. No, you've got the dunamis power of God in you. Take that matter to prayer. Pray for that person. Intercede for that person. Pray for your community. Because good is needed in this world. There's so much evil, so much wickedness. And the power of the Holy Spirit is needed because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And the devil is still working havoc in the lives of many people today. And you might be the only Jesus that they see. So we see the power of the Holy Ghost come upon ordinary men and women, fishermen, ordinary people. There was nothing too great or wonderful about them. They were just ordinary people like me and you. But the Holy Ghost came and transformed their lives. We see this happen throughout scriptures. In the Old Testament, he would come upon them. He came upon Samuel. He came upon Elijah. He came upon Elisha. We see changes happening. We see by prayer and fasting, a decree that was made to annihilate all of the Jews was turned around in the book of Esther. But then we say, oh, we can't do this. I'm just this ordinary person. No, you're not. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. Don't just sit down and fold your hands when you hear that something has happened. Speak peace over the nations. Proclaim peace. The kingdom of God was proclaimed. And as the kingdom of God was proclaimed, guess what happened? Signs and wonders, miracles started coming. That's what happened. And then we see the apostles who do the same thing. That power it talks about is the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded them to wait. You will receive one who is like me. And you will do even greater works than I have done because you have the Holy Spirit with you. So why do we limit ourselves? Because we've lived in a society and a world that tells you that you only judge things by what you see, feel, and touch. But there is a realm that we do not see, feel, or touch. And that realm is the realm of faith. And faith is the ability to stand with God and his word and bring about the expected change in that situation. That's why Romans 4, the Bible tells us that Abraham staggered not at his faith unto unbelief. He hoped against hope, believing in a God who was able to give life to the dead. The Bible says he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor the deadness of his body. But he believed. He believed. Oh, dear. I shouldn't do this. He believed. Oh, dear. I told God not to do this to me. He always does this to me at any time I talk about him and his power. He believed. Jesus walked into Nazareth and he couldn't do anything because of unbelief. The power of God was ready to do something there. But he couldn't because of unbelief. We live in an age, a digital age. Technology is moving. Artificial intelligence is coming into being. Things like transhumanism are being discussed. Dependency on God is moving away. And our dependency on the system of this world is increasing. And then we ask ourselves, why don't we see healing in the church? We don't see healing in the church because of unbelief. And finally, We see Peter. Peter was in Joppa in Acts 9, and they heard that Peter was in Joppa. Dorcas had died. Dorcas was this lovely lady that helped people. And they sent for Peter. Peter, please come. Dorcas is dead. And Peter ran and raised Dorcas from the dead. We see in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going to the temple by 3 p.m. at noon to pray. And there was a man crippled from birth, sat at that gate called Beautiful. And he was begging for alms. And Peter and John said, look up to us. And they looked up to him. And the Bible says that both their eyes were fixed on him. And he said, they said to him, listen, silver and gold do I not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says that man got up and walked. We have the name of Jesus. That name has been given to us. Use it. Use it to change the evil and the wickedness in your world or in the lives of your neighbors. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Don't criticize them. You have the Spirit of the living God. We need to move away from behaviors that we gain from this world where we're too judgmental about people. Judging them for no reason. When you can pray, when you have the Holy Ghost in you. The Bible says, don't quench him. How do you quench him? When you go for anything less than he has for you. You quench the Spirit of the Lord when you do not recognize who he is. That's what we do. We quench him. I grew up reading people like John G. Lake. Let's now move into our world. John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth. I read their bibliography. These were ordinary men that God had called. He was quite an influential businessman, John G. Lake, and God called him to South Africa. He's known for the Ebola virus shrinking and dying in his hands under a microscope. The power of the Holy Ghost moved within this man, ordinary men. The sick was healed. They feared not anything. They gave their lives completely to the work of the gospel. John G. Lake said, when he realized the power of God's word and the will of Satan was to oppress people, he said he made up his mind that he would never go past anybody and let them continue in that oppression of evil. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. He couldn't read. And the Holy Spirit called him. It was when that power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, the first book he learned how to read was the Bible. Yet people were coming all the way from Leeds, everywhere around the United Kingdom, to Bradford. And then we talk about Charles Finney. Charles Finney was so full of the Holy Spirit. It's told of him that he walked into a factory one day and everybody fell under the, everybody was convicted of their sins and they wanted to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how Peter's shadow was healing the sick. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. It was nothing about self, me. That's what we do. What about me? Me. I'm offended. I'm this. Any small thing, I'm offended. No, when you give your life to Christ, when offense comes, you lay it down at the cross. Because he went through the biggest insult and abuse no man has ever gone through. That's why the Bible says, greater love has no man than to lay his life down for another. So when we start thinking of what people did to us, what they didn't do to us, remember the one who was insulted and had all power to do something, but he didn't. Catherine Coleman. Another beautiful lady that even the papers in the United States carried the healing. Nations, politics, politicians, leaders knew these people because they saw the power of God at work in their lives. We also see the same with Charles Spurgeon. From a man who was cold in the snow, and decided to run into a church for shelter. That was when the Holy Spirit captured his heart. Charles Spurgeon turned this nation upside down. Even the king acknowledged his debt. Even number 10 at that time acknowledged, sent a personal note to his wife. And then there's you. Do these people have two heads? Do they have six hands? There's no difference. Your world is waiting for you to manifest. Your world is waiting to see Christ in you. The Christ in you wants to be let out. Because you know more people than I do that are going through hell and high water, that Jesus can help liberate them. This is more like a wake-up call for us. We can't sit down twiddling our thumbs anymore and sitting in this pity-patty world where everything is all about us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, wake up to that calling. Be that calling. You don't have to raise the dead. Look for dead things around you. People's hopes are dead. Gas and electric, all these things are going up. Inflation everywhere. What are you doing about it? We can pray. We can change things. We can pray for wisdom for our leaders. We can pray against that which is causing confusion. And pray that they see a way through. We can pray against the spirit of greed and corruption. In the name of Jesus, he says that his name every knee will bow. The Bible says his name has been exalted far above every name. There is no name that can be named that name of Jesus is not higher than. So use the name. That's why he says, in my name, cast out demons. If you see demons come to cause havoc, oppression, they're not meant to be there where you are. You cast them out in the name of Jesus. Say, get out of this place. You have no authority here in the name of Jesus. So I usher in the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said, if I cast out a demon by the finger of God, know that the kingdom of God has come. That means a higher and more superior kingdom has come. That kingdom is in you. And that is why it is your testimony. John said, I write to you, little children, that you might know that you have eternal life, a life of God at work within you, in every fiber of your being. It's time that life takes over. It's time we walk in union with that life. It's time we say, I know who I am. You're not defined by what you were or what society calls you or whatever category they try to put you in. You are a child of God, a citizen of heaven. You have the kingdom of God in you. Now go out there and do good. God bless you all.